welcome to the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. Nolan Cole and Rob Mann back with you. It's episode 5 of the season. The men's hockey team going on the road last weekend. Another split, Rob. Losing 4-3 in Calgary on Friday night before bouncing back and winning 3-2. They're now at 4-4 on the season, and we're looking ahead to this weekend's home series against the Lethbridge Pronghorns. But Rob, let's just start in Calgary, a team that the Bisons have quite a history with, going back to several playoff series over the years. Another split between two evenly matched teams in Alberta last weekend.
Well, we've talked about the Bisons we've joked a little bit about the fact that Manitoba may not want us to call the games anymore if they're going to keep winning games when we're not there. They've now got a 3-1 record on the road and a 1-3 record at home for an even 500 split. And the wins against Calgary were character wins, I would say, because it's very telling when a team can win a game missing two of its best players. And we'll get back to that in a minute, but it's a rivalry game between Manitoba and Calgary. It always is. Regardless of where those two teams are in the standings, it's unpredictable when two teams that hate each other as much as Manitoba and Calgary have over the years meet. It's like Toronto-Montreal. I mean, there were years where Montreal was dominant in the Eastern Conference and Toronto were cellar dwellers, but they would still end up going to a shootout. They'd still end up having close games. There's really no telling in a rivalry matchup.
Right, and you mentioned the star players. Jordan DePape not playing in either game. We have not figured out why. We're going to ask Mike Sorant about that, hopefully before the weekend gets here. But, Rob, we can only assume it's his injury. It has to be nagging at this point because he missed the first two games with a lower body injury. He was limping around the rink in the preseason. The games he has played this year, he's been great, over a point a game. And again, back on the shelf over the weekend, not good news for Bison fans.
No, not at all. And we can only assume it's either a re-aggravation of that previous injury or the flu that has swept through the Bison's dressing room like a scythe through dry wheat has claimed another victim. That flu, that's actually, we found out afterwards, that was the reason that the two teams didn't shake hands, is because there is a sickness going through the Manitoba dressing room right now. It's claimed a few victims. Last weekend it was Rennie Hunter. The weekend before that it was Adam Henry. And it looks like this weekend it may have been either or both of Jordan DePape and Brett Stoven, because Stoven didn't play the second game on the weekend either. Having said that, give the Bisons credit in playing a rivalry game against a team ahead of them in the standings, facing a team that they don't like, and they're missing two of their three best players, two of their three leading scorers from last season, and they come away with a win. The supporting cast got it done. No, one of the big guns has to step up. In that instance, it's one of the top three scorers who isn't out of the lineup. That was Shaq Morasty, and he came up with a goal. But give credit to the supporting cast in Manitoba that was able to overcome the loss of really two of the conference's best forwards.
Right, and another guy who has stepped up is Justin Auger. 7 goals and an assist. We just talked about this off-air. Tied for second in Canada West in goals. He leads the Bisons with 8 points. This is a guy who really didn't score a whole lot last year. Man, he's looked good out there this year.
Yeah, he's really come into his own this season, Justin Auger has, and I mean, if you watched him at all with the Steinbeck Pistons, you know there's no problem with him putting the puck in the net. It's just it took him some time to get his footing, it took him a while to get going, I suppose, and now that he's gotten going, look out, he's a shoot-first player. He's developed chemistry with Morasty and Lorenzell. We've talked ad nauseum about that line, because they have been one of the only consistencies for the Bisons this season. They've been one of the only lines that's been together and done well together all year long through 8 games. He's found a home on that line. And his line mates are benefiting, too. I mean, Morasty's up there in terms of points on the team. So is Remy Lorenzell, a rookie from the Everett Silvertips. It looks like one of the stronger lines in the conference right now, and it gives the Bisons some much-needed consistency.
So you have Auger, 8 points. Excuse me, Morasty is tied with Auger for the team lead. They each have 8 points. DePape right behind them with 6 and only 4 games. So half as many games as those other two guys. And then Lorenzell, you just mentioned, 6 points in 8 games. So a good start for him as well. And Rob, we've seen a lot of lineup changes in the early going of the season. The line of Morasty, Auger, and Lorenzell has stayed the same, and I think that speaks a lot to how good that line is, because Mike Sorant not afraid to juggle his forward lines at any time.
No, he'll juggle the lines in game, even in period, if need be, and injuries have kind of necessitated that throughout the course of the season. Sicknesses haven't helped. But that line has been a constant throughout. None of them have, touch wood, been injured or sick yet. And they've been together from the start. I mean, they got both goals in the opening weekend against Mount Royal. They were strong against Saskatchewan. They were strong against UBC. And by all accounts, they were strong again this past weekend against Calgary. It's got to be a relief for Mike to know that if Jordan DePapp and Brett Stoven or other offensive players like them step out of the lineup for whatever reason, and there are all kinds of reasons a player might leave the lineup, it's you've got somebody who can step in and fill that void a bit, even against a team as good as Calgary. And we should point out, while we're on the subject of goal scorers, a few things we talked about on our Twitter account. If you follow us at Bison Men's Hockey, you'll see this as well. But we mentioned all six goals on the weekend were scored by Manitoba Junior Hockey League alumni. And we give a congratulatory shout-out here to Sean Bowles on his first, not one but two, CIS goals over the weekend. So congrats to him. Always nice to see a player get their first CIS goal. I imagine his teammates recovered the puck for him. Still got a few rookies waiting on their first CIS goal, but it looks as if Sean Bowles is no longer one of them.
It's the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast. We're on iTunes at Bison Men's Hockey, as well as on our website, bisonmenshockey.com, Twitter at Bison Men's Hockey, Facebook, Bison Men's Hockey. Rob, you just mentioned the Bowles brothers, and I'm looking on the stats here. Brad, 5 points in 8 games. Sean, 4 points in 8 games. So two new recruits that have found a way to stay in the lineup every weekend and found a way to contribute offensively as well.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that those points have all come in the last 6 games. Neither of them had terrific starts against Mount Royal. They were very much in the Cougars' faces. They were very much on the minds of the Cougars because they are agitating players. But their offensive contributions hadn't really come out until the second week against Regina, and since then they've been very offensively consistent. They were playing with Jordan DePapp last weekend against UBC. That line had some success, and that's going to carry over. I mean, you look at their junior numbers. I believe it was Brad Bowles had over 100 points his last year with the Terriers, and Sean would have, but for an injury situation. So you know they can score. It's just a matter of them adjusting to the Canada West level, and it's refreshing to see that they seem to have adjusted very quickly. That gives the Bisons just that many more weapons up front.
All right. The goaltending, and we keep coming back to this. I wrote a blog post about it this past week. You can find that on the blog page of our website. Again, another split between the two goalies. Mike Surratt goes with Byron Spriggs on Friday night. He loses 4-3. He goes back with Justin Pollock on Saturday. He wins 3-2. So again, Rob, we saw this last year with Spriggs playing 15, Pollock playing 14 before Pollock took over for the playoffs. Right now they're at an even split again, and it just seems like this trend is going to continue. In my opinion, they should go with one starter, at least give a guy the chance to run with the net, but it looks like right now Mike Surratt is content with flip-flopping his goalies every weekend.
Yeah, and last weekend did him no favors on that front because he starts Byron Spriggs at the start of the weekend, as we theorized that he would because it made sense. Byron Spriggs had the best 3 games leading up to that. But he starts Spriggs and he surrenders 4 goals, and then the next game he goes back to Pollock and Pollock surrenders only the 2 in a game where they're missing 2 of their best players. And yes, the offense coming from Bowles and Morasti and Ogier was hugely important, but you need your goalie at times to bail you out, especially when your top players are out of the lineup. And last weekend, Pollock did that. So Mike's job wasn't made any easier by that weekend because this time, Pollock had the better weekend. So if they're just going to alternate which goalie has a better weekend, I mean, who do you start on any given week?
Well, that was my next question. Who starts Friday night? I mean, naturally, we would think Pollock, but who knows?
My first assumption is Pollock, just based on the fact that he had the better game against Calgary. But really, it's a chess match. And this could work to Mike's advantage because it's not as if the other team knows ahead of time who he's going to start. There's no book on the Bison goalies because you never know which goalie's going to show up. By the way, we've been mentioning Mike Surratt a lot. We're going to have to talk to him hopefully over the course of the week because he is, for those who don't know, the University of Manitoba Faculty Association has decided to go on strike.
Right.
Mike, as a head coach, is technically UMFA.
The Faculty Association, is that what that's?
Yeah, UM Faculty Association, yeah, and we're not sure whether he's opted to cross the picket line or not. I'm not going to speculate on that one way or another because I know Mike as a coach, not as someone who's involved with the politics of the university, but we're going to have to find out whether or not he will in fact be behind the bench this weekend. If not, the assistants, including Riley Dudar, will run the bench for Manitoba.
Yeah, because the assistant coaches aren't part of, technically they're not employees of the university, but we talked about this week, Rob, Mike Surratt was an assistant coach prior to becoming a head coach. So he worked his way up as a hockey man, not as a university, professor or whatever. He doesn't teach any classes, I don't believe, or does he? We would have to ask him that.
Well, having never taken any of his classes, I couldn't tell you for certain. Like I said, I don't want to speculate on this just because I don't know Mike as a professor or as a member of the university faculty. I know him as a coach. And I think as a coach, he would want to be there for his players, but there's other factors at work here. That's just what happens when the faculty goes on strike. We'll see. I think he'll be there, but again, I'm not going to speculate on his views on the matter. That's for him to do if he chooses to.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll talk to him prior to the weekend, and we'll ask him that question, because that'd be an interesting thing to get into, and kind of an interesting thing, because is it distracting, right? Like, you have – you're focused on the athletics primarily, right? But they're all students, and it has to – enter their mind at some point. Right?
Yeah, and it affects different students in different ways. I mean, we spoke to Brett Brooks last weekend. He's a second-year forward with the Manitoba Bisons. He's one of the players in kind of that bottom six group that rotates every game, seemingly, because they still do, again, have so many players on the roster. And Brett was expressing some frustration about that, because you really don't know. I mean, some teachers will be there, some teachers won't. It's really up to the discretion, excuse me, of the individual professors. There's other guys, like Nick Zajac is in Asper, for instance. He's in the Asper School of Business. From the sounds of things, most Asper professors, along with those in the Faculty of Engineering, have decided to stay. A girl I know is at the, she's taking some form of medicine there, and she does a lot of practicums out of hospitals. Most of her professors aren't faculty, per se, so they're all staying. It really varies. On the other hand, you know, my sister's there, and a number of her professors are on strike.
Yeah.
So different players will be affected different ways, just as different students are affected different ways.
Yeah, definitely an interesting dynamic there. Okay, let's run down the Canada West scores for you from this past weekend. So we already mentioned the Manitoba scores. Calgary winning 4-3 on Friday night. Mount Royal brought blanking Saskatchewan 6-0. Shock there with how well the Huskies have played in the early going. Alberta beating Regina 5-2. UBC got by Lethbridge 4-3. And then on Saturday, the Bisons bounce back with a 3-2 win. UBC wins again 3-2 over the Pronghorns, the Bisons' next opponent. So Lethbridge coming into this weekend off two straight losses last weekend. Saskatchewan 6-2 over Mount Royal on Saturday. And then Alberta blanking Regina 4-0 to conclude the November 5th schedule. And then the standings look like this. Saskatchewan, 7-2-1, 15 points, first place. Alberta, right behind them, 6-2, 12 points. Golden Bears have played two less games than the Huskies. Calgary, 5-3. Mount Royal, 5-3. Manitoba, 4-4. UBC, 4-6. Lethbridge, 2-3-3. Three overtime losses in the early going. And the Regina Cougars, struggling as we thought they might, 1-7 on the season. So, any surprises there, Rob? Or, I mean, we expected the Huskies to be strong. We expected the Cougars to maybe, you know, have another rough season. But, you know, it's pretty tight throughout the middle of the conference. And really, it's wide open as we approach the Christmas break.
Well, with Mount Royal, I think we may be witnessing the rise of another Canada West power, quite frankly. I mean, they beat Saskatchewan. Yeah, they got absolutely trounced by Saskatchewan on Saturday. But they inflicted the heavier of the two losses Friday night with a 6-0 victory. Give them full credit for that. And we saw it firsthand. They're a fast team. They can fly up and down the ice. And if they can keep up with Saskatchewan, anyone who can keep up with Saskatchewan is a team to be feared in the Canada West Conference. Lethbridge, we know that they're competitive. I mean, they're taking games to overtime, and it's unfortunate that they're not able to finish the games when that happens. But we know Manitoba can't take them lightly, because clearly they're having competitive games. UBC is now starting to look like the UBC team of last year. I didn't think when we watched them, I was calling that game against them last weekend, and I would not have said, just from what I saw, that was a 1-5 or 1-6 team based on what I saw that weekend. They no longer look like a 1-6 team. Maybe they're starting to turn the corner. Maybe they're not. It's too early to say. But I think they found themselves a bit that weekend against Manitoba, especially in that 3-2 win on Saturday. Their goaltending's great. They've got a couple of forwards that can really vex any team they play against. They're experienced. That's how UBC probably should look, and I'm sure that's how they expected to look coming into the year. It'll be interesting to see what Lethbridge looks like, because Lethbridge is always a bit of a wild card. They're the fourth of four universities in this conference
right. In
Alberta.
Right.
And they don't draw as many of the big time names from the Western Hockey League as certainly the Golden Bears do. But they do have a WHL team right there in Lethbridge, the Lethbridge Hurricanes. They tend to draw a lot of their players from there. So it's always interesting to see how they turn out. This year it looks like they're competitive again. They're not winning as many games as I'm sure they'd like, but they are competing. It's worth noting, though, that they haven't really upset anybody yet. They played close games with Saskatchewan, which is a testament to them, but their wins, I believe, came against Regina. So they haven't really blown away a team higher up in the standings than them. This may be their first chance to do so against Manitoba, because they were successful against Manitoba last year.
They were, Rob. They went 3-1. Here, especially in the weekend series here in Winnipeg, 7-5 Friday night, we called that game barn burner. And then 5-1 the next night, so the Bisons weren't able to respond. They lost the first one in Lethbridge later on in the season in the second half, and then got a win 3-1 in the last game between the two teams. So let's talk about Lethbridge, but the Bisons host Lethbridge this weekend. Then they go to Alberta to play a tough Golden Bears team on the 18th and 19th. Then Saskatchewan on the 25th, 26th. By the way, the November 25th Friday night game, that will be on the main network, UMFM 101.5. And then the last weekend series before the Christmas break, Rob, at Mount Royal. So when you look at these next two, well, let's just look ahead to this weekend, because yes, they've had problems with Lethbridge, but if the Bisons are going to get themselves into the top, say, top three, four teams in the conference, these are games that they have to win. Lethbridge, maybe a comparable team to UBC in terms of how they play in that. This weekend's huge because the schedule is pretty tough to finish off the first half of the season.
Yeah, you got teams 1-2-3 in the standings, and frankly 1-2-3 in terms of firepower after that. Alberta had an interesting offseason. They lost a number of players. We've talked a little bit about the recruiting classes of Canada West. Alberta had the misfortune to lose 6 or 7 players to the professional ranks, guys who graduated out after their fifth year and then decided to turn pro. And they just raided the Western Hockey League. I mean, they took a couple of 40-goal scorers, a couple of Kelowna Rockets, and Cole Lineker and Tyson Bailey, Todd Fidler, who scored 40 goals, Trevor Cox, who once had over 100 points with the Medicine Hat Tigers. So they raided the WHL. They did a terrific job with that. They got a couple of big defensemen, a couple of offensive-minded defensemen. They started out the year a little rocky with the split against Saskatchewan. Now it looks like they're finding their mojo a little bit. They're 6-2. Hard to argue that they haven't taken off a bit since that first weekend. So Manitoba's in tough against them for sure. And then we know, of course, how Mount Royal handles Manitoba typically.
Yeah, and ideally you want to be playing your best hockey going into that Saskatchewan series, right? Because the Huskies right now are the measuring stick in Canada West. And I think you have to build some momentum over these next two weekends in order to get to a point where you can be competitive against Saskatchewan, your number one rival geographically.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that a couple of years ago when I first started calling Bison games, Saskatchewan was very much a middle-of-the-pack right. team. They would typically split with Manitoba. They were good, but they weren't great. And then they just had an absolutely fantastic recruiting class. I mean, they had Levi Cable, Cole Baumel, and Andrew Johnson, who all an all-rookie top line, and they all broke 30 points, which is just unheard of in Canada West. And they ended up winning the Canada West Conference. This year, similar story. Those guys are all back, but they also brought in a ton of young recruits. I don't know if Alex Forsberg has been able to play a game yet, but he was on their recruiting list, and he did have a 90-point season with the Victoria Royals his last year in the Western Hockey League. So you know he can put the puck in the net. Saskatchewan's always a good team to watch play against Manitoba, just because you said it, there is that rivalry. And they're a good team just in general now, so Manitoba's got to bring their A game.
Jordan Cook in net doesn't hurt either. He's played all 10 games for them this season. And I touched on that in my blog post. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first-place team has a bona fide starter where he plays every game. But in fairness, a lot of the other teams split their goaltending duties as well, right? You go down the list, it's half and half a lot. But I think Cook is just on another level.
Yeah, and Cook insists on him being the starter. I don't mean he insists in terms of he demands it from the coaches. I mean his play demands it. He is just that much further ahead, I think, of any goalie perhaps in the entire conference. So if you have a goalie that's that good, then you start him as many games as he's willing to start. But not every team has a Jordan Cook.
Right. Just going down the Lethbridge stats here, Rob. Tim Campbell, who, sorry for this last year, is not the same Tim Campbell that does not write for the Winnipeg Free Press anymore. We learned this week he now writes for NHL.com.
But it's not the same Tim Campbell either way. It's not an older reporter with a big black mustache. That's not the same guy.
No, it is not. Nonetheless, a very good defenseman in Canada West. 8 points in 8 games, so he's the leading scorer on this Pronghorns team coming into this weekend. Justin Valentino, who we saw last year, I thought looked very good. He's first in the team in goals with 5. Other guys, Mitchell Maxwell, Ryan Moser. So again, there's always guys that, you know, the Bison defensive group is going to have to key on in order to shut them down, and Lethbridge has a couple dangerous players.
Yeah, and it looks like last weekend Manitoba's defense did get a bit of a boost as Ernie Hunter got back into the lineup. They were really missing him against UBC. Lethbridge has historically had some trouble scoring, not to the same degree that, say, Regina has, but they haven't... You typically don't see a pronghorn on top of the league scoring stats, at least you haven't in recent years. This year, they're very much a score-by-committee team. The fact that a defenseman is leading them in points does kind of point to that. But by the same token, when you have that many players who can score, it is worth noting, and he's the leading scorer, Tim Campbell is on the Pronghorns. He would also be the leading scorer on the Bisons, so the Bisons can't afford to take him lightly.
He'd be tied, that's correct, yeah. I'm just looking at their goaltenders here, Rob. So Damian Ketlow, who we watched last year, he's played three games. Their quote-unquote starter, who's played five, is a guy named Garrett Hewson, and he's a rookie, so not great numbers, 2.99 goals against average, 9.11 save percentage, which is pretty good, but they got a rookie goaltender coming in, and who's played the majority of the games for Lethbridge, so interested to see what he brings to the table this weekend.
Yeah, and the GAA may be a function of playing on a team that has surrendered a few goals. I mean, the team defense may just be more to blame for that, but the fact is you've got a rookie goaltender starting those games, and a 9.11 save percentage in Canada West is actually pretty solid. There have been weekends where a 9.11 save percentage would have been enough to help the Bisons hold on for a win.
Yes, it would have been, yeah. So Lethbridge brings a four-game losing streak into this weekend. We'll have both broadcasts for you on the UMFM second stream. Friday night will be on around 6:45 with the pregame show, and then Saturday afternoon, it's a 1 o'clock start, so we'll be on around 12:45 with the pregame show. All the action, it can be found on our website. We got the Listen Live up for you on bisonmenshockey.com. I just want to finish up the show, Rob, with this question for you. Bisons had high hopes coming into the season, thought they could compete for a championship. We thought it was there with the guys they brought in to compete in Canada West for a title. Here we are approaching the Christmas break, and they're 4-4. Last year was up and down 500 season. Are we headed there again? And if we're not, what needs to change? And have they underachieved to this point? Should they be better than 4-4 based on the players they've brought in?
It's a tough question to answer. I would say that I expect some hiccups with a team this young because there were a ton of recruits brought in. You expect them to have a few ups and downs. And the fact that they are still carrying 29 or 30 players on the roster is another talking point, certainly. I don't know if I'd call it an obstacle, but it is a consideration for sure. And if the rookies start gelling, like if they find their mojo in the second half, the way the Bulls seem to be starting to, then you would expect this team to do better than 500. Having said that, last year we had a Manitoba team, most of whom are back, who... You never knew which team was going to show up on any given night. There was a lot of inconsistency outside of those big three of DePap, Morasti, and Stoven. And now you've got a situation where you're very literally not sure who's going to show up every night because players aren't getting into the lineup with any regularity. And I think that's having an impact on team chemistry in the bottom six because guys are playing with different guys every night.
Yeah.
At this point, I know Mike is not in a situation where he has to make cuts because Canada West does not require that. But it's got to be tempting some days, just to give people a chance to play with the same people all the time. Once they hash out some of the finer details, however, once the young guns start getting in tune with the way Canada West hockey is played, I think they'll start winning some games.
Yeah, and I mean, again, one of the issues that's kind of it's reoccurred this season is the inability to win at Wayne Fleming Arena. They're 1-3 at home, 3-1 on the road. They had a better road record than home record last year, and I think the old adage is, you know, you have to win most of your games at home and play 500 on the road in order to get to where you want to get to as a hockey team. So you look at that and you say this team needs to win some home games down the stretch in order to put themselves in a better position.
Yeah, maybe Wayne Fleming Arena is a bit colder than we think at ice level. Maybe teams are so eager to get out of there to avoid freezing to death that they're just playing their hearts out against Manitoba. Who knows? But Manitoba, yeah, 1-3 at home. That's got to be a concern for them. Now, granted, part of that is that they've played at home against, you know, teams like Mount Royal. But that's got to be a concerning stat. Having said that, I mean, road play is encouraging. But right. You do want to win at home.
I guess what I'm saying is when you have UBC coming in, when you have Lethbridge coming in, you look at those and you say, okay, we got to take those two, right? We got them at home. We got to take both those games because at the end of the year, that's going to make the difference between, you know, finishing sixth and finishing third, potentially.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, if the playoffs started today, Manitoba would not be hosting. They would be against Calgary on the other side of the conference. they would be in the playoffs. And I think at this point, it's reasonable to speculate that they would be, because only two teams missed the playoffs. And I don't think Manitoba's going to get caught by Regina at this point. But they do need to pick it up if they want to be hosting playoff games again.
Canada West reminds me very much of the CFL in that it's very generous to teams that make the playoffs. You're right, only two miss. So obviously the Bisons made the playoffs last year, lost in the first round. But again, just higher expectations for them this year. We'll see if they can, as you say, play better hockey down the stretch into the second half. I think these next few weeks will be telling. We'll see what happens, of course. I just want to run down the schedule for this weekend. So Lethbridge at Manitoba, that's a 7 o'clock start, as we mentioned. Calgary visits Alberta, so a Alberta rivalry taking place there. Regina at Mount Royal. And actually, that's it, Rob. So there's only three games this weekend. So I'm trying to think of who has the bye. It looks like it's Saskatchewan.
And I would imagine UBC would be the other one.
Saskatchewan and UBC have a bye. And those are the teams that started the season early. So now they'll take this weekend off and they'll be back on even terms with the rest of the conference. Okay, so we got Lethbridge coming up this weekend. Once again, 7 o'clock start on Friday, 1 o'clock start on Saturday. Rob, any final thoughts before we wrap it up for this week?
This could be a big weekend with Manitoba's trying to catch Calgary. They're only 1 point back at Calgary, and Calgary has to beat Alberta. So if Manitoba can sweep the weekend against Lethbridge, there's a good chance that by the time November 13th rolls around, they'll be in the driver's seat.
He's Rob Mann. I'm Nolan Cole. Thanks for listening to the Bison Men's Hockey Podcast.